Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan. Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is episode 334 on June the 23rd. And it is wet and windy and
wet and wild.
It is. I tell you what, it seems like every weekend for the last, I don't know, 3 weeks, a month, we've had crazy weather.
And here, here in the Midwest, that's terrible for farmers.
Oh, it is. We've had so many people in that either are farmers or know family farms that are just suffering as they try to get their crops out, and they just can't. Crops in.
And wheat can kind of sit there, but it's going to, we got wheat coming out right now, and if you can't run a tractor through it, you got to do something.
Well, and they were saying a lot of the grounds are just simply underwater, so there's no planting of any kind, and that's disheartening. So, but here for us, as we look out of our studio window inside our coffee house.
Biggest problem we got is the creek out front.
Yeah, we laughed about that the other day. The water was running down the street, and we had cars parked in front of the coffee house, and so that water was lapping up off the tires onto the sidewalk, and someone said to you something about, looks like you got a creek out front, and you said, why do you think we call it Creekside? That was almost a setup, wasn't it?
Anyhow, we had some interesting weather. You know, the weather caused us a lightning strike at home. We took out a modem, took out our phone system, and it came in through our DSL line, and because I took the modem apart and saw where it was blowing up inside. And, inside of 45 minutes, I had that working again.
You did, and that's what I said. You know, when things happen like that majorly at home.
Just happen to have another one in my pocket.
Yeah, I don't even blink. I just think, okay, well, I'll just give him some time and all will be well soon. And it was, and we could get back to our life as usual with all our internet access.
And our favorite show right now happens to be Designated Survivor, because we just started watching that on Netflix. And it's not that we're binging it. We're just seriously interested in
watching it. A mini binge.
Yeah, a mini binge.
Mini binge. And so that was temporarily delayed as you restored our house to internet capabilities.
We had some interesting stuff happen this week. We had four people come in, two from London, and one's from Southern California, and one from Cincinnati, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And they came in just because they were looking for coffee. They Googled us and found Adam Brothers, which, of course, doesn't exist anymore, but the building is still here, and the coffee house is still here, and away they come.
We just renamed it
through the door.
They did,
yeah,
and they were with, in a roundabout way, Race Across America. So before we jump into the conversation we've had with them, why don't we share a little bit with our listeners about Race Across America?
Well, first off, I found this on the interwebs about the Race Across America, and it's just a cute little lead in. And in case you don't know, for 36 years, Race Across America has been challenging ultra cyclists, not just the people that ride their bike to the store, ultra cyclists from around the globe to push their physical and mental limits to the farthest reaches, starting in Oceanside, California, under one of the longest piers in California. Race Across America spans 3,000 miles, climbs 175,000 feet, crosses 12 states, and finishes at City Dock in Annapolis, Maryland, the East Coast's sailing mecca. The route travels west to east, traversing three mountain ranges, the Sierra, Rocky, and Appalachian, crosses four of America's longest rivers, the Colorado, Mississippi, Missouri, and Ohio, and the Great Plains, also passing through such iconic American landmarks as the Mojave and Sonoran Deserts, Monument Valley, the Great Plains, and Gettysburg. open to amateur and professional racers in solo, 2-, 4-, and 8-person relay teams, there is no other race in the world comparable to RAAM. The race has become a global icon, having had over 35 countries represented. Not only has Race Across America proved to be one of the most challenging races in the world, but has become a huge platform for racers to race and raise awareness and money for charities of their choice. Racers have raised over $2 million per year over the last 5 years. Wow.
Exactly. And so that brings us to the four people that walk through our front door here at Creekside Community Brew in search of good coffee. They are filmmakers who were following one of the teams that were riding in Race Across America. And the team is called Serpentine Golden Girls. They are four women that rode together in the past about 11 years ago, I believe, on this very same race. Mm-hmm. Their ages all put together, average 70. I think it said, what, 280 years total?
Yeah. That's a lot of age on the wheels, but they're enjoying themselves.
Well, and I think they decided to see, you know, what they could challenge themselves for, and obviously this is a race to do just that. So anyway, these filmmakers came to Greenville because Greenville was one of the pit stops along this race from Oceanside to Annapolis. And there's stops all over the country. Mm-hmm. One of them was in Greenville, but it was at McDonald's out by the interstate. And so that's where all the riders stopped. It kind of did their check-in. And we even saw some of the riders had done interviews with people from Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
So we were pleased that the filmmakers came to our coffee house.
They wanted good coffee.
They did. And the names of this four team was Kristen Duffy from London, England, Rob Whitmarsh from London, England, Mackenzie McCullough from Newport Beach, California, and Kristen's mom, Linda Moore, from Cincinnati, Ohio. And she just knew, you know, she's not on the film crew, but her daughter was home from England. She was going to make sure she connected up and spent some time with her. So we had such a quick and easy conversation with these folks. And I say quick in that we talked fast and furious.
It's like we've known them forever.
Right. And we could have sat down had they not needed to get on their way because they were, since they were filming the crew.
Yeah.
And another thing that was good that there was a pit stop in Greenville because the weather had kicked up. Speaking of bad weather, last weekend, this weekend, it just keeps happening. Everyone was wise to pull over if they could. And we've seen the racers, you know, we've been kind of following them through this after we got to meet these folks. And, you know, they're traveling in wind and rain and hail and who knows what kind of weather. So it's been a tough trip for many reasons. But anyway, we were glad that these folks stopped and visited with us and enjoyed our coffee. We promised to keep in touch with each other. We want to do something about the crew as well as the racing team, the Golden Girls, mm-hmm. in the July-August issue of the Owl Creek Gazette. So we're looking forward to that. But in the meantime, we did see that Kristen had posted some kind of concerning news.
Yeah, we found out that at least one of the ladies was evidently had a bad spill on the bike. We don't know any of the particulars about it, but Hillary Weber, they call her Hills, was she's out of the race, and they decided that they were going to stop and just be done with it because they could never meet the finish line time.
Right, and they said she had it was a serious accident. Yeah. So there's a lot of concern as to what happened and how badly she's injured. We're all hoping for the best, and we'll, like you mentioned to me, Don, earlier, if we find out more, maybe we can even update this before we go.
Before time goes too long. Yeah, right. We'll find out something today. We'll go ahead and say something about it, but the fact remains that they were 350 miles short of the goal.
Right.
And being so close, my goodness. I mean, hats off to them for what they did and how they did it. That's, you know, 350 miles off of 3,000.
Oh, exactly.
My God.
And their names are Eddie Brocklesby, Margaret Sills, Hillary Weber, who you already mentioned, and then there was another lady, Hillary Walker, all from England. Slackline Productions was the film crew that was out working with them. And these ladies were not only testing themselves to see what they were capable of. Their charity was Silverfit. Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier all the teams on the the route usually have someone that they're promoting, trying to raise awareness and concern and money for a certain cause.
Yeah. Well, you know, if we got any information, you know, by the time we put this up, we'll certainly include it if we can, but we will maybe even throw a note up in the header to let us know what you know, what we found out about her. Anyhow, it's been a wild, wild week this week. We think about the coffee house, about how it brings people together. We have one common thread. It's coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody wants coffee. Nobody can, you can't argue over whether or not you got coffee. You can only argue about whether or not you don't have coffee. what I'm saying is that it's a common element that we can all agree to.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else came in earlier, you know, in our existence here at Creekside. She was dressed in all kinds of regalia to protect her from the weather. She had her leather suit on, and she came in. She started taking the leather suit off, and then she started taking off the under jacket from that, and she got down to the person that was down below in normal clothes, and we go, "What's going on?" And she said, "Oh, I'm riding across the United States."
It's really interesting that, you know, people that are traveling like this find us and then are so willing to share news of themselves and what they're doing. In fact, the lady that you mentioned, Empora Amble Bay, was the first person. I think we only had the doors open, what, 3 or 4 days?
Yeah.
And so when I looked at her and, you like you said, you described her, I thought, there's a story there. She was on a motorcycle. So here she's a cyclist in a different way than these other people are.
Yeah.
And she was 30-some.
And she'd already had a wreck on the motorcycle,
mm-hmm.
and somebody'd run her off the road. She, you know, two people trying to compete for the same exit, and she lost. And it wound up that somebody stopped and helped her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was amazed at how willing people are to help when they see that there's a problem, and it's not your fault at all. And this is a microcosm of reality that we don't see on television. The stuff that we see on TV is not the way life is. We can't translate that to reality. It is, we want to help each other.
Right. The goodness of people, I think, is a natural thing. And when they see someone injured or in a tough spot, their natural inclination is to help. And that's what Empora found out. I think we all find that out in situations like that.
Yeah. There will be a story that you're going to write, I understand,
mm-hmm.
from copious notes that you took while Empora was here.
Well, I did have a chance to sit down with her and actually had pen and paper in hand and did an interview that way. So
don't lose the red notebook.
Right. So it will be interesting to see that two of the stories in the July-August issue of the Owl Creek Gazette will be directly related to the fact that we own the coffee house, and they're also related in that they were traveling across the country.
Incredible, isn't mm-hmm. it? It's amazing. You know, every time we open the door, something new is going to happen today.
Oh, and we've had several people come in from Indiana, mm-hmm. and that's been fun. We've had people meet each other. That one group of people lived in Effingham, somebody else in Hillsboro
mm-hmm.
and or Litchfield.
Hillsboro, I think.
And they met here and just wanted to get together and visit. And so we just love it. It is the community we'd hoped it would be. Some because of us, some separate of us, and now we're meshing those two communities that existed separate of us and now with us. And
mm-hmm.
it's just really been fun to experience.
And proof positive is that the common element is coffee.
Yep.
And that's...
Well, we talked about it a couple of episodes ago, that yeah. the idea of coffee house is where ideas are born, history has happened,
mm-hmm.
People have met. I imagine there's a few love stories somewhere in a coffee house that we haven't recorded yet, but we may find that out. Someone who said, yes, I met that person in that coffee house, and 20 years later we got married. Who knows? Yeah.
And it can happen in a tavern. It can happen in a coffee house, because many times they are one and the same type of gathering places,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the common element, you know, okay, so in the 1790s it might have been rum, but today it's coffee as well,
mm-hmm.
and pretty soon we're going to we're going to see that we are going to do the best we can to meld those things together, and this will be the gathering place that your dream told you about. And as soon as we can get that a-going, we're going to have Nitro Brew here, too. So look out for that.
Why don't you explain what Nitro Brew is? I bet there's a lot of people that don't know.
Oh, well. Yeah. The Guinness Harp Factory in Ireland that makes beer uses nitrogen gas to impart bubbles to their beer. But you can do the same thing to coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And with nitrogen gas infused in the coffee, bubbled into the coffee, you serve a cold brew that is nitrogen gas charged, and it froths in your glass like beer froths in your mug, and that's Nitro Brew.
That'll be neat. We'll have to serve that in a mug.
Oh, it will have to be served
right,
in mugs,
because you've got to see that. Oh, see it to believe it, folks.
Putting that in a coffee cup is almost a sin.
It is. And be like just a to-go cup.
Right.
That would be a waste.
Yeah. You got to see the bubbles climbing the sides of the walls. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It'll be fun. And that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, what else is coming? We're thinking of, we are saving and creating ice from our spent, but no, not our spent. Let me take that back. Retract. We are taking our used, we're taking our end of day coffee, and instead of pitching it down the drain, we're pitching it into ice cube trays. You know, we're making our own ice cube trays out of coffee. And we'll use that in our cold brew as it sits right now.
Well, and you and I were sitting down at a restaurant other than ours.
Imagine that.
And we were talking about this, and I don't know how I came up with the idea, but all of a sudden I said, let's don't waste that coffee. Let's freeze it. And then I was saying this to our youngest son, Gabe. We were talking to him on the phone, and I said, I've got this really cool idea, and I was awfully impressed with myself. And I said, we're going to take our coffee and we're going to freeze it. We're going to make ice cubes and we can put that in the coffee. And then at the end of your drink, you don't have watery coffee. You have more coffee. I said, how cool is that? And he said, Mom, it's really cool, but we do it out here in California all the time already. So I thought, well, okay. And then it was really cute because I thought I had an original idea. And he said, you did. It was original to you. It's just someone thought of it. You didn't think of it first, but it is your original idea. You didn't steal it from anybody. And then I said, well, maybe for here in Greenville, it's a first.
Well, maybe so. Then what the heck? Mm-hmm. So we've got cold brew, and we have ice cubes to go with it.
Mm-hmm. And we tested that out on some people the other day, and they really liked the idea, too. So that was nice.
I'm certain that the ice as it melts is just bean coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. And let's see. What else have we got today? We've got...
we want to talk about some things that are happening in July, but before we move on to July, I want to say that we had another evening here where folks gathered and ate up Terra Mater Meals food.
We did.
It was chicken paprikash with green beans and a fruit salad and a little cookie, and it was so good. And then we were able to also offer later on chicken paprikash right here at Creekside Community Brew as a lunch option. So that was really nice.
It was good, too. It was probably the best chicken I ever had.
Well, that's pretty darn good, Don. Very tender and flavorful. And so the reason we bring that up before we talk about July is because...
There's another one coming up.
There is. There's going to be two every month. And the one coming up in July 11th, Roxanne says here in her flyer, is Earth Mac Daddy Salad and potato wedge and dessert. So you can imagine from the name what sandwich it came from, but it is not the exact sandwich, of course. So that's going to be fun. And we encourage people to go to terramatermeals.com and register in advance for that, or you can do that right here in the coffee shop too. And by the way, we should probably say our hours again for the coffee house, because I know a lot of people are still learning our hours since they're different from Adam Brothers.
Yes, the hours are 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday through Friday, and then 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday.
Right. We're closed Sunday and Monday. But just like these meals that Roxanne and John are putting together through their Terra Mater Meals is a way that we can make use of our facility of an evening. So while we are closed, then that's an option for the building to get used.
Yeah.
And for community to gather in and around our hours.
Yes, exactly.
So
if we have the opportunity here this week, we're going to get our third building cleaned out and ready for possibilities, for rents, for use by other folks, for use by community groups. I just got an opportunity the other day to buy a 55-inch TV to put on the wall for conference goers to have a video display for their conferences and their boardroom meetings that they may need, and it will be available as an electronic hook your computer up to and display your PowerPoint presentations mm-hmm. and such mm-hmm. to that thing. So that's kind of cool, and that's going to be coming up as soon as we can muster it all together. We'll have space available for rent, for pop-ups, for...
So if folks are thinking about an event they want to have, they're working on for later in the year or even in 2020, as far as mm-hmm. that goes, call now, and our phone number is...
618-664-9575.
Right, and then that way you can say, I'd like to reserve a spot. We're coming up with prices for what it would cost to reserve the whole thing, half thing, special private room. All that's in the works.
Yeah, indeed. And we'll provide you coffee. Mm-hmm. We prefer that, you don't try to bring your own because we're a coffee house, and that's
part
of the deal.
Well, sure, exactly. And they want the best anyways, Don, yep. So why wouldn't they choose
exactly.
us? Yeah. And then one thing, too, I want to mention, in July 4th and 5th, we will be closed. The 4th of July just makes sense because we'll be celebrating our independence.
Yeah.
And then the 5th, we will be
celebrating my mother and father's birthday. No, my mother and father's wedding anniversary. Did you know they were married on the 5th of July?
I had forgotten that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're going to just take the 5th off because the 6th is going to be a special day here in Greenville. It's 4th Fest. Yay!
Right, and we're not taking the 5th off for any other. We're not taking the 5th off to prepare for the 6th. We will actually be out delivering the July August issue of the Owl Creek Gazette.
Yeah.
But we thought a lot of places are closed the day after the 4th when it's this close to a weekend. So we're going to utilize that time to do some fast and furious delivering. And then we'll be back here at Creekside Community Brew, 110 South 2nd Street in downtown Greenville, Illinois, Saturday for biscuits and gravy.
Do you remember when we used to deliver 3,000 or 4,000 magazines in one day?
Oh, I do. I was telling somebody the other day that I actually remembered we would get the magazine in sometimes like at 4 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
pick it up at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we would be out delivering almost the full route till 9 o'clock at night. So we'd be going on 3 hours sleep. We do a 12-hour day of deliveries, put in all those miles. And I think that was before the magazine was as large as it is.
Yeah, and whenever we got our first 28-page magazine and had them all loaded up in the car, and the car is relative because it's an SUV, but mm-hmm. we had an opportunity to be scooting down the road, and I needed to hit the brakes in a hurry. We found out that the brakes don't work so good with that much weight in your vehicle.
No, because the magazines just keep going. And they took us with them. It was like, whoa, Nelly.
Certainly burned the new off of those brake pads.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of things that you don't think about when you increase the size of the magazine, like not just the cost. We knew that would happen.
Stopping distance has got to increase.
It does. And also when you carry the magazines to a destination point and you get out and you have two bundles and you're holding the magazines that are they're collected and gathered in a string, and the string then cuts into your hands in a whole different way when the magazines are larger and heavier.
It's no wonder I can scratch my knees without bending over. That's not true. But it sure feels like it at the end of the day, doesn't
right,
it?
Right.
Well, hey, I don't know what else we've got to say, but I think we've said about all we can say. We've had a great week this week, and we want you to, if you can, come in, have a cup of coffee. You got some stories to share, let us know about it. And that's a little loud, Don. Turn that down. So there's the creek, there's the water. It's raining. We've got creek running down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen any owls lately. I want to go see an owl.
It sounds like you know where they are. Let's go see an owl.
I know where they are. Okay. They're at the creek.
They are at Owl Creek. And yes, folks, there really is an Owl Creek for those of you who may be listening for the first time.
Yeah. Anyhow, thanks for listening, and we will catch you next week.
Right. And in the meantime, if you don't already, like us on Facebook, like us on Twitter.
Whatever else you got.
Check out the website, owlcreekgazette.com.
This is the official podcast of the Owl Creek Gazette, Creekside Community Brew, and what else do we do? That's enough for this. Y'all take care now.
Good night, folks.
Bye-bye.